Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero Podcast, the show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Wednesday, May 28th. Another week closer. Well, at least next week, it's June 1st. We'll have some more signings, trades, potentially. But right now, it's just another episode. But no NFL news really happening. Obviously, we'll cover it in NFL Weekly Update. But the CFL is starting next week. You've heard that right. I'm wearing my lovely CFL hat, except unfortunately it's LCF because they gave me a French hat. It is what it is. But yeah, the CFL is around the corner, and this isn't going to be a CFL preview or primer. This is just going to be a NFL guys, or guys who made it to the NFL who are now playing in the CFL. I went through all the rosters a couple weeks ago. I'm sure there are some guys who have been added to roster that I'm not aware about, but these are just the guys that I listed that I was like, yeah, I think I remember that guy in the NFL. Some of them, you should, if you're a big NFL fan, you should remember these names. Other guys, or they just had a cup of coffee in the league, but having a cup of coffee in the NFL is better than 99.9% of all football players. So we're going to talk about some former NFL players now in the CFL. And because everyone's giving out their U.S. Olympic flag teams, I thought I might as well too. So I'm going to be projecting the States team as well as Canada's team. We'll see how that goes. And then as always, we'll start off with NFL Weekly Update. Remember, vote for the Hall of Very Good. Link is in my bio. Please vote. You got like another 2 weeks left-ish, but let's just get into the episode here. So NFL Weekly Update. Yeah, not a ton to really talk about, but I will start off with a couple extensions. Joe Tooney, the Bears guard who they just acquired for, multi-time All-Pro with the Chiefs. Again, very good player. He signs a two-year extension with the Bears. Don't know what that money is yet, but a two-year extension is a two-year extension. That Bears interior is looking good. But again, it's you have an older Joe Tooney who's now in a new system. And again, like I expect him to be fine. You have Drew Dolman, who's like a good, solid player. Jonah Jackson, who was pretty good and then signs a big deal and then immediately gets traded away. That's looking a little iffy, but I do expect big thing from this Bears O-line and having a veteran and a leader like Joe Tooney on it certainly helps a lot and certainly helps out Caleb Williams and this offense a lot. So 2 year extension for Joe Tooney. Raiders punter AJ Cole signs a 4 year, $15.8 million deal with the Raiders, 11 of that guaranteed. So yeah, 3-time Pro Bowler now, I think 2-time All Pro. Jordan Schultz, I think, was first on the news, but essentially, AJ Cole was telling him that, so he was a UDFA and he took a job with IBM because he had no idea if the Raiders thing was going to work out, if it was going to be, and it was basically, he told IBM, I'll start in September, all good, and then he made the Raiders team, and it was basically a week before that, he was like, yeah, I've got an away game, peace out, not going to work for you guys, and the rest is kind of history. He is one of the league's best punters at this point. Again, wild story that, like, he had so much self-doubt and he didn't know, and again, a job at IBM, like, that's a very well-respected, high-paying job, I would imagine. But no, he gets to live his dreams as an NFL punter. So shout out to AJ Cole. Again, highest paid punter in NFL history. Very, very cool. Not very cool. Colts owner Jim Irsay has passed away at the age of 65, I believe. Way too young, far too young. Obviously, very, very sad. But if there's one thing you can say about Jim Irsay, he lived his life to the absolute fullest. When I was listening to the guys on Pardon My Take when they were talking about this on their Friday show, I would imagine, because we both, either way, it's, he again, billionaire, obviously, but a guy who, how like a normal person would be a billionaire, where they just, again, They do extravagant things. They're helping people out, but not wanting the recognition, collecting a bunch of weird things. Like Jim Irsay, again, he lived his life to the fullest. It's sad. I don't really have a ton else to say about Jim Irsay. He was just a character. And I know that the Colts fans and the NFL will probably miss him. He was one of the few people to actually stand up to Dan Snyder, the former Washington owner, where Snyder was like, oh, you guys want to kick me out? I'll blackmail all of you, and we'll just all go down together. And Jim Irsay is like, I'm a fucking open book. I dare you. And obviously, yeah, Jim Irsay, integral of getting Dan Snyder out of the league. Thankfully, he did his job, and now his watch is ended. I don't know why I threw in a Game of Thrones reference. Either way, RIP Jim Irsay, gone far too soon. We have a new NFL award, and this is one that honestly should have been an award for a while. Protector of the Year announced for the top offensive lineman. We need to workshop that name. Like, we need to go back with, like, one of the best offensive line all time, like a Joe Thomas or a Jonathan Ogden, or trying to think of guys from, like, way, way back when, but I really just can't right now. It was a long day working out in the sun, so I'm just going to move on. But either way, this is something that, like, offensive linemen have just never been recognized at all. Like, literally, like, other than All-Pro and Pro Bowls, and it's, again, it doesn't, like, it's not the same. This is going to be great. Unfortunately, the people who are going to be voting on this, I'm assuming, are the same people who vote for MVP and DPOY and Offensive Player of the Year, and I think the majority of those voters are idiots. And I don't think the best offensive lineman will actually get crowned year after year. It's such a tough position to evaluate in general. And I know a lot of these voters don't watch every game, probably don't even watch over 20 games, I could say, probably in a year. And they're going to be tasked of picking the best offensive lineman without being able to look at a stat sheet and be like, yep, that's the guy. I'll be interested to see if, like, PFF's number one ranked offensive lineman for next year ends up winning the award. Because I'm just going to chalk that up to people going to be like, oh, who's the best offensive lineman? Oh, PFF had this guy. That's my number one pick. It would not surprise me, but long overdue. These offensive linemen deserve awards, deserves the credit. So shout out to them. The Tush Push was not banned. The league made the right call. But I think I mentioned this last week, but they needed 24 votes to pass. The vote was 22-10. The 10 teams to not ban it were the Eagles, the Ravens, the Browns, the Lions, the Jags, the Dolphins, fuck yeah, the Patriots, the Jets, and the Titans. Nick Sirianni made a comment, I think at the coaches' meeting or the combine, to be like, the Tush Push got Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen jobs. They should not be voting. Neither of them, both of them voted against it, and technically the owners voted against it, but it's their teams. But again, the Tush Push should not be banned, and again, it's the wording of the Tush Push. It's the, oh, you can't push the running back, the wide receiver, whoever, forward if you're a lineman or whoever. And same thing, you can't pull them. And that, again, that gets rid of all of these plays where all the running backs just stop short of the goal line, and oh no, here comes the big offensive lineman, oh, they push him the extra yard, touchdown. Like, those would all be 10-yard penalties. That's a football play. The Tush Push, whatever, you don't want to say, oh no, that's not a football play, it's unfair. I still believe that the Eagles offensive line with Jalen Hurts behind him and no one pushing him, I don't think anyone's really pushing him anyways, they'd still convert on QB sneaks 90% of the time, maybe a little less than what the Tush Push is averaging, but like, I don't think the Eagles need the Tush Push. Max from Pardon My Take, their producer, was essentially saying, he's a big Eagles fan. It's basically saying, I wish they banned the play. So one, he can call everyone a bunch of pussies for banning the play, and two, when all of a sudden they've run the QB sneak just as effectively, there's going to be no complaining, and all of these idiots to be like, oh, they're cheaters, they're whatever, are just going to tuck their tail between their legs and not have anything meaningful to say anymore. So Tush Push lasts another year, deservedly so, should not be banned, especially with the language that's behind that, should not be banned. Goodell is looking to get rid of void years for contracts, essentially. He made a comment where he had a meeting with the owners to talk about the cap situation and how he doesn't believe that some teams are playing within the rules of the cap, and not the actual rules, but just kind of like the unspoken rules. I forget how it was phrased, but basically the cash-rich teams, the teams that have these, again, billionaire owners, not family-run teams that have just been like legacy-owned kind of thing, but the teams that just have, you can just sign a check, like the Broncos, who have the Waltons, the Walmart family, who, yeah, any bonus, any signing bonus, any void year, they can push that down the road. So I think essentially Goodell wants to get rid of void years to make it so these cash-rich teams can't take advantage of the void year situation. And obviously the void years, they always catch up eventually. I mean, we see how the Saints, I think the Eagles' limit for theirs is 2029, and then all hell breaks loose. But yeah, I'm all for this. I think that the void years thing is kind of cheating. Like, I don't like that you can just push money that far back. Yeah, play within, again, the rules, put that in air quotes, but that's interesting. Also, Goodell rumored to get an extension. I think his contract is up in 2027, but looks like he's going to get an extension. And honestly, like, he gets booed every time he's at any live event, and yeah, that's fine. And I think he's done a lot of bad, but the NFL is in a better place than it's ever been. You can argue about that, about, again, some of the rules and how it's not as tough or physical as it was anymore, but it's a safer league. Players are getting paid unbelievable amounts of money now. It's the most popular sport in North America anyways. Like, he's done a good job. Obviously, player suspensions and that stuff is still like a little iffy, and I don't really understand what deems a suspension and what doesn't deem a suspension. I'm still waiting on the Rashee Rice suspension, as are we all, but he's done a good job. I'll give Goodell credit. He has done a good job. And last note here for the NFL weekly update, Hard Knocks. So it has been announced that the Bills are getting the preseason Hard Knocks and the NFC East is getting the in-season Hard Knocks. So I'll start with the preseason one. Obviously, the Bills are one of the best teams in the league, have been since 2020, essentially. And them being on Hard Knocks is going to be big. Obviously, Josh Allen is one of the bigger faces and stars of this league. He has his A-list fiance. Are they married now? I think just fiance. But Haley Steinfeld, I'm sure she'll make a cameo at some point. You got Keon Coleman, who was just, I mean, the draft darling in the offseason last year. Million different sound bites, just super, super funny guy. Like, they got characters on this team, but, like, just Josh Allen and maybe Haley Steinfeld and then Keon Coleman is enough for me for it to be interesting to watch anyways. So, yeah, interested about that. And then for the in-season Hard Knocks, a lot of drama. And, I mean, obviously, defending Super Bowl champion Eagles trying to repeat, that whole run will be interesting. The Commanders, after a terrific year one of the Dan Quinn regime and Jaden Daniels, can they repeat what they did? I don't know. We'll see about that. And the Cowboys will always be interesting just because Jerry Jones is there. We will see. And even the Giants, who people are like, oh, discounting and like discrediting a little bit, and I don't blame them. Like, I've been a fan of this Giants roster and how they've been coached. It's just when you have the worst starting QBs in the league, it's hard to win games, obviously. But even then, that'll be interesting because you got rookie Jackson Dart. You have Brian Daboll and Joe Shane on the hot seat. So plenty of interesting stuff to come out of Hard Knocks this year. What do I want to start with? You know what? Let's just start off with these U.S. or with the flag Olympic teams. I'll do the U.S. I'll do Canada. And again, this is a projection for 2028. So 3 years from now, we will see, but I'm making a projection of who in the NFL that I think could be bigger stars than we see coming, essentially. Or again, there's definitely some proven guys who are there too, but this will be, it'll be fun. And I'll talk about broader about the flag team in general. So it's six on six, you have, and then on offense, it's obviously the quarterback. You have four wide receivers, and then the center, who is just essentially snapping the ball and then turns into a wide receiver. On defense, I think, so in my league, it's you line up 5 yards back. That's the rushing point. I think Trevor Sikkema and Connor Rogers were saying it's 7 yards back. And usually the QB, so it's a 14-yard difference from the rusher to the QB, typically. And then you have three DBs and two safeties. And that's usually how it works. It's usually like outside, middle, outside, your two safeties. Again, you can run whatever defense you want. You can just play straight man. You can, it is what it is. But that's essentially what it is. I don't think roster sizes are too big. You can only dress 10 people, I believe, for, that doesn't make sense. You must be able to dress 12. Because a lot of guys play both ways too. Like, that's the thing. I talked about, but the U.S. flag QB for the World Championships, that they've won a few now, Daryl Doucette, came out and basically said, like, he thinks it's unfair that the NFL players just to basically just, like, go to the Olympics when, like, his own teams have been winning World Championships, kicking the shit out of people. Like, again, like, if the NFL players weren't going, the U.S. would still kick everybody's ass, just as how much better they are at football than everyone. And I do agree. Like, I think that all of these flag players, and it's a completely different game. Grabbing a flag, very, very hard. I don't think people really realize that. And these guys, it's the flipping of the hips, which obviously, I'm sure the NFL guys, you give them, like, a few months of, like, okay, like, understanding, like, the movements of everything and how to do it and the hand-eye, like, it'll all be there. But I believe that the U.S. flag guys deserve their chance. I think that there should be an open tryout, or maybe if they want to do, hey, this is the NFL team, this is the U.S. team, like, this is the current U.S. flag team, you guys play each other, whoever wins, that's who's going to win. The difference is, I was looking at some of the current U.S. flag players, and I'm like, okay, well, like, how fast are these guys? They're all small, like, they are all tiny, tiny men, because obviously it's more about shifty than top-end speed, regardless, doesn't really matter. But they're not, like, they run, like, 4.6s, 4.7s. Like, they are not NFL speed. Like, not even close. So I think the NFL guys would still win regardless, because I don't see how they'd be able to stop them. But regardless, let's get into, we'll start off with the American team here. So at quarterback, obviously people love picking, oh, it's Lamar Jackson, it's Kyler Murray. Both of those guys, and I hate to say it, 3 years from now, running is such a crucial part of their game. And as they creep into their late 20s, early 30s, an injury can happen, and then their scrambling ability, that might be that, essentially. Again, really, really shitty to say. I don't want Kyler to get hurt. I don't want Lamar to get hurt. But I'm just looking forward a little bit, where a guy like Caleb Williams, a guy like Jaden Daniels, who I know they will be in the primes of their career at that point. That's who I am projecting anyways. Obviously, if no injuries happen to Lamar, I think Lamar would be the perfect flag quarterback. But Jaden Daniels, I mean, he's got the speed, he's got the improvisational stuff. Same with Caleb. Like, they both have, like, they're both very good athletes. So that's who I'm going with at quarterback. For the wide receivers, Justin Jefferson has been very, very vocal about wanting to do this, wanting to win an Olympic gold, and I do believe he will take it seriously. And that's the whole other part about this, is the NFL guys have to take it seriously. They just can't expect to go in, kick everyone's ass, and I'm sure that they will be expecting that, but they have to try. This isn't like a U.S. men's basketball team when they play against like Italy or something like that, where they're just like shits and giggles, not playing around, like, whatever. Like, it's a different sport. They will have to try, and I don't want to see them taking it easy, treating it like the Pro Bowl. I want these guys to try. I think Justin Jefferson will be competitive about this, so he's my number one wide receiver. Again, he's just the best receiver in the league. Currently, 3 years from now, I don't really expect much to change. He's just incredible, so easy enough. At my wide receiver two, I'm going with Malik Nabers. Incredible route runner, great in space, shifty. Like, he fits the mold of a flag football player so well. Again, he's a burner, but it's the quick twitch, it's the separation that really gets you with neighbors, so I'm picking him. Then in my third wide receiver spot, I'm going with Jeremiah Smith out of Ohio State. So he will be the first wide receiver taken, I'd assume, in the 2027 NFL draft. So this would be at the end of his rookie season, essentially. But I think he is a generational wide receiver prospect. I don't think we've seen a wide receiver prospect like this since Julio. But like, Jamar Chase existed. But even that was a little because he took the year off with the whole COVID thing. And whatever, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jeremiah Smith is a fucking freak. He will only be getting better. End of his rookie season, I could see him being like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll play in the Olympics. So I'll go with Jeremiah Smith. And for my wide receiver four, I'm not taking a wide receiver here. So this is going to be my weapon, because obviously they don't run a running back. You can run a running back. It's a little bit useless, but who better than Jahmyr Gibbs? Literally 4.3 speed, shifty as hell. I feel like every time he's going to get tackled, he finds another level, hits an extra gear, and he's gone. Again, someone who is just ideally built to play flag football and would be so much fun to watch. And then my center, the guy who is snapping the ball, Brock Bowers. Not flashy, not whatever. I'd like to pick a tight end again. Brock Bowers could literally be anyone here. I could pick Jamar Chase to snap the ball or whatever, but I'll go with Brock Bowers. His body positioning and body control and able to box out defenders with his size. And again, you can't be physical in flag football, but he's just has bigger stature than anyone, and his catching radius is insane. So he can snap the ball, big red zone target. I like it. And then on defense here, I will start off with 2025 rookie Travis Hunter. So again, obviously a bit of projection. Travis Hunter hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet, but hasn't played a snap in the NFL, but I picked Jeremiah Smith, who hasn't even been drafted to the NFL yet. But yeah, Travis Hunter, again, can play wide receiver, can play corner. I have him at corner for this exercise just because I have my wide receivers who I'll take. But either way, he's versatile. You can play him on either side if you need, if a guy gets hurt. If someone gets hurt, like if some prominent player tears their ACL, tears something, whatever, the NFL players are never going back to the Flag Olympics again. So either way, but Travis Hunter, versatile, can play both sides. Other corner here, I'm going with Pat Surtain, obviously defensive player of the year. Corner is such a hard position to project to, because it's like, oh, they're the best corner in the league. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, they just fell off the face of the earth. Like, what the hell happened? Pat Surtain, though, like, again, he just won Defensive Player of the Year. I'm expecting 3 years from now for him to still be one of the best corners in the league. At corner number three, I will go with Derek Stingley. Again, probably the second best corner in the league at this point. Absolutely locked down. Just elite athlete, elite corner in general. It's going to be so funny, like, watching this, like, again, like, Derek Stingley against, like, some Polish flag football guy, and again, you can't press, you can't touch them, like, whatever, but, like, he's just going to essentially just be running with his arms behind his back, and just be on the guy, and I don't know, it's going to be really entertaining. I can't wait for, again, these Olympics that are already so far away, but it'll be very, very interesting. At safety, I'll go with Kyle Hamilton and Antoine Winfield Jr. Listen, two of the best safeties in the league, Antoine Winfield. Again, it all depends on what kind of system you're playing, but he can roll down closer to the line of scrimmage, come down. Antoine Winfield can do all the backfield stuff. Those are the two safeties that I'm picking. Not a lot of, like, and obviously there are good young safeties in the league, but, like, none that have really, like, taken that next step. And I say that, like, as Kyle Hamilton and Antoine Winfield both weren't drafted in, when was Winfield? Winfield was 2020. And I think Hamilton was 2022, so obviously both young safeties, but, like, two of the best safeties in the league. And then for the pass rusher, so I was thinking of this, it's like, okay, do I just go with, like, is like a guy like Xavier Worthy, where, again, in that 14 yards, like, your 10-yard split, it's like, okay, like, he'll be at the quarterback in essentially like a second and a half. And that's very, very tough. And obviously, like, no one can really outrun Xavier Worthy. But I kind of went for the scarier factor, where I went with Micah Parsons, which that's what he does. He rushes the quarterback. But Micah Parsons is also a freak athlete, where he ran a 4.46 at the combine, I believe. And at that size, and again, he can put his hands up, he can whatever, like, he will be able to keep up with all these quarterbacks, and it is much scarier seeing Micah Parsons run at you than seeing Xavier Worthy run at you, which I'm sure that most flag QBs are used to having a guy Xavier Worthy's size running at them in that speed. Seeing a guy Micah Parsons' size with that same speed and athleticism, much, much scarier, so I'll go with Micah Parsons. So that's the U.S. flag team. Again, a little bit of a projection, but that's how I see things going at the moment. People putting Pat Mahomes, I don't think that Pat Mahomes is going to be in 3 years, is going to be wanting to play flag football, first of all. He'll be on his, like, eighth kid at that point, and he's already got a bit of a dad bod. In 3 years from now, I don't even know. So, like, the only other guy I would, like, really consider is Lamar, and obviously, like, Ja'Marr Chase and CD and A.J. Brown. Like, there's so many good options. The U.S. will have a very tough time actually narrowing down these rosters. That is the hard part. Now, for Canada, was much, much easier to figure out who is playing for this team, because there's not that many NFL guys or Canadian-born players in the NFL at this point. And I got one. Actually, I have two CFL guys, actually, on this list. So, actually, three of them. Never mind. Okay. So, starting off with the quarterbacks. So, a couple options. We can go Nathan Rourke, who's the BC Lions QB. Tried to come over to the NFL, played for the Jags. Obviously, the Jags was a shit show and whatever. He's back in the CFL now. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's awesome. Then there's his younger brother, Curtis Rourke, who just got drafted in the 7th round by the Niners. We'll see how that goes. And then there is Taylor Eldersma, the Laurier quarterback, who is a UDFA, signed with the Packers. Interested to see how that goes, but like I would assume it would be a three-way QB battle between the three of them. I have no idea what Canada's active flag football team and roster looks like, but those would be the three quarterbacks that I would assume. At wide receiver, we have Bills wide receiver Josh Palmer. Again, this isn't as flashy as the States team, but Josh Palmer is a very good receiver. He is a better receiver than, again, 99.9% of anyone on the planet. Bigger body guy, still has like 4.4 speed, like is a good athlete. So Josh Palmer. The other wide receiver, we have Alec Iomaner, who just got drafted by the Titans in the 4th round, I believe. Again, another good athlete, very good contested jump ball, like can come down with the ball in a lot of situations. He's a very physical receiver, so obviously that won't translate great. But again, 3 years from now, I think he'll be pretty good. The other wide receiver spot here, we have John Mechie. I think he's still with the Texans. Yeah, so John Mechie, Texans wide receiver. He was at Bama. He's had a pretty productive, fairly productive career so far. Obviously, didn't start off great with the cancer diagnosis, but he's battled back from that. Into a decent role player in the NFL, so John Mechie. At the other wide receiver position, we're going to go with Theo Johnson, the Giants tight end. Again, it's like, really, you're picking a tight end? Again, it's slim pickings out here, but Theo Johnson, very, very athletic tight end, and I should have his 40 number in front of me, because I think it was very fast, right? Right, it was fast. Yeah, okay, so he ran a 4.57 40-yard dash, and how big is he? Yeah, at 6'6", 264. So again, no one's going to be able to cover him in the red zone. You just throw the ball up high to him. He will come down with it. He's also a very good athlete, so we'll go with Theo Johnson there. And then for my center, the guy who's snapping the ball, where it's like, okay, we already have a red zone threat with like Theo Johnson, so like who? I went with Chase Brown. So I went with Chase Brown, the Cincinnati Bengals running back. He's already like a good receiver out of the backfield. And being center is like you have any option, any place that you can go. Usually, I mean, at least in my league, it's usually the center just kind of finds the gaps and looks for the gaps and just kind of fills that spot. And if the QB needs to check it down, boom, it's a check down. And I think Chase Brown would be great for that. I know when Connor Rogers and Trevor Sikkema were doing their draft on the NFL draft exchange, they took one of them took Tyreek Hill, where, yeah, I can't imagine having, like, the fastest player in the NFL just basically be like, okay, you have free roam. Go wherever you want. But for Canada, that will be Chase Brown, and I think he will do that role very, very well. On defense, this is where it gets slightly dicey anyways. We have Tavon Campbell. You probably don't know that name. I'll talk about him more in a bit, but it's his first year in the CFL this year after 6 or 7 years in the league. I actually do have that listed down. He was drafted in... Yeah, he was drafted in the third round in 2015. And this is his first year in the CFL, so obviously almost a 10-year career. So shout out to Tavon Campbell, but he will be one of Canada's starters in this. Another corner here, we have Benjamin St. Juste, drafted by Washington, played for the Chargers. I don't know if he's actually on a team right now. But again, when you're a Canadian and you're an NFL corner, you're just better than most people. Okay, yeah, so currently on the Chargers anyways. Again, he's been a starter, he's been banged up, but like again, he's a... I was going to say quality NFL player. He's an NFL player. How about that? And the first lone CFL player here, it is Tyrell Ford. So he also played in the NFL for a bit, dabbled. But because I must have him for the next thing too, right? Oh, actually, no, he didn't play in the NFL. So this is just a purely CFL guy. He's been an all-star for the last 2 years. But again, he's Canadian. We need players, so that will be Tyrell Ford. Safety gets a little bit better. Javon Holland, former Dolphin, now on the Giants. He's probably the best football player that I've named out of this entire bunch on the Canadian roster. Very, very good player. Next to him, it will be Chase Brown's twin brother, Sidney Brown. Great player. Not a great player. I think he's getting a bigger, more expanded role on the Eagles this year, so interested to see how he does with that. But defense, like, again, it's not a bad-looking team on paper anyways. Again, we'll see how everything goes. It's not even confirmed that CFL players will also be allowed to compete at the 2028 Olympics, so I guess we'll see with that. And then for rusher, similar in the same vein as Chase Brown, and I basically did a coin flip of, like, who would I rather have at either spot? But my rusher is going to be Chuba Hubbard. Running back for the Panthers, had a breakout season for them last year. But again, he's got good speed. He's obviously has to change of direction. It's just, can he grab that flag? I'm sure he can. But Chuba Hubbard will be the rusher for this team. So that's the U.S. team. That's Canada's team. The U.S. obviously looks much, much better. But now we can get to the former NFLers in the CFL. So have a lot of names to talk about here. Not going to spend a lot of time on a lot of them, but there's a few guys that I will discuss for a little bit longer at length anyways. So I'm going to go alphabetical order in terms of the teams, and then we'll go from there. So starting off with the BC Lions. So obviously Nathan Rourke had his cup of coffee. Jags practice squad, never actually got into an NFL game, unfortunately, but he hung around. Lynn Bowden Jr., some of you might know. I think he was the Kentucky quarterback, wide receiver, running back. He did everything for that team. Was a 2020 third round pick by the Raiders. Bounced around for the few teams, has now landed in the CFL. Interested to see how that goes. Lynn Bowden was like one of my favorite players in that 2020 draft class, like, because he was just a weapon. Like, he can pass, he can throw, he can like run the ball. Like, it was just, he was a fun player to watch, and I'm interested to see how 5 years later from now Lynn Bowden translates to the CFL with obviously a much bigger field for him to work with. Should be fun. Victor Bolden Jr., some of you, it probably rings no bells. XFL and USFL champ. I think he was a draft. No, he was a UDFA by the Niners. Ended up having around like 500 return yards in his career. So decent. No NFL catches, though. Christian Covington, Ottawa native, 2015 sixth round pick. So again, it is his first year in the CFL as well. Again, pretty decent, productive. Actually, Christian Covington is not from Ottawa. There's another guy from Ottawa who still plays in the league, I believe, with he's from BC, so never mind. But either way, Christian Covington played for the Texans, the Cowboys, the Broncos, the Bengals, Chargers, the Lions. He's been around the block. Solid NFL career. Now he makes that transition over to the CFL. I'm sure he will do very, very, very well. We have Xander Horvath, a 2022 seventh round pick. He was the first fullback to catch a TD in two straight games since 1942. He did that with the Chargers. Now he's looking to replicate a little bit of that magic with the Lions. And then we have Quadri Ollison, a 2019 fifth-round pick by the Falcons. Again, had a cup of coffee, had a few TDs, decent yards, like nothing really to like shake your tail about. But like again, you played in the NFL, you're a decent player. The Calgary Stampeders, they have PJ Walker, who you all might remember from his brief starts with the Carolina Panthers. He still holds the record of like longest air yards completion pass in NFL history. He's got a cannon. He's a little mobile. I'm very interested to see if he wins the starting job for the Stamps right out the gate, because I think they have Vernon Adams Jr., who's been in the CFL for a while, played at Oregon at some point, too. That's how I know him, really. But, I think PJ Walker is a fun quarterback, always has been a fun quarterback, so interested to see how that goes. The Edmonton Elks, not a ton to talk about, but we have Brett Boyko, how about that? Has one offensive line start in his NFL career. Not bad. Then we have Benjamin Victor, UDFA, bounced around from a couple teams, two special teams tackles, you love to see it. With the Hamilton Ticats, they have Tim White, one NFL catch, which again, having one NFL catch, that's better than some of these guys on here, so one NFL catch, that's great. On the Montreal Alouettes, so this was a special player that I added. I think I talked about him last year too when I was doing my CFL job, but it is Sean Oakman. Yes, that Sean Oakman, if we all remember from the meme of him with the cutoff shirt looking just five times bigger than everyone on the field. So he's been in the CFL now for a few seasons, I believe. Still huge, still that big, but he's on the Alouettes now. On the Ottawa Redblacks, we have Justin Hardy, a 2015 fourth-round pick by the Falcons, and he had 95 catches, 946 yards, and 9 TDs. Those would be great regular season numbers, unfortunately. Not unfortunately. Like, that's, again, he almost had 1,000 yards, career receiving yards in the NFL. That's great. Then we have Lorenzo Molden, a 2015 third-round pick for the Jets. Had 6.5 sacks and an interception in his NFL career. Made the transition over to the CFL. I think he won Defensive Player of the Year in 2022, so shout-out to him. Davion Taylor, a 2020 third-round pick by the Eagles. Linebacker, obviously, again, obviously had a few tackles in the league, but like those three guys right there, and like because I'm in Ottawa, I go to the Red Blacks games. So those are the games that I work. Like you can tell while watching those guys, they're just like a tad. They just look a tad different from everyone else on the field because it's like, yeah, you were an NFL prospect, you were an NFL player. Like you can just see that they move a little different. They're just slightly bigger, slightly faster. It's very fun to watch. And then we have Jalen Samuels now, a 2018 fifth-round pick by the Steelers. Some of you might know Jalen Samuels just because in fantasy football, those Steelers running backs, when James Conner would get hurt, and who's the other Jalen that they have? But they had another, or they still have that other Jalen running back who I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but it was that Jalen and Jalen Samuels, and it always confused people. He ended up with some pretty decent stats. I think like 400 rushing yards, 500 return yards, something like that. It's not Jalen Wright, because Jalen Wright's on fucking Miami, of course. Who is it? Jalen Warren. Yeah, it was Jalen Warren, Jalen Samuels, the Battle of the Jalens. Jalen Warren won out eventually, but interested to see him play. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, Mario Alford, a 2015 seventh-round pick, one NFL catch. That is fantastic. Reichwell Armstead, a 2019 fifth-round pick by the Jags, had like just over 100 yards rushing in his NFL career. Was on the Red Blacks last year, but I think he was a bit of a head case because they let him go, even though he like was fairly productive for him. So that's fun. Tavon Campbell, who I just talked about with the Canadian flag football team, but he was a 2015 third-round pick by the Jags. Again, played in the league for a decent long time, hopped around, bounced around, but he has now found a home in Saskatchewan where he will make his CFL debut coming up. Keyshawn Johnson, a 2019 sixth-round pick by the Cardinals. Again, bounced around to a few teams, now ending up in Saskatchewan. He's been a fairly productive receiver for them. A guy that people might actually know, Shane Ray, a 2015 first-round pick, 23rd overall by the Denver Broncos, was the 2014 SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Obviously, the expectations for Shane Ray were sky-high, but he has landed in the CFL. I'm interested to see how it goes for him because I think he played for the Argos in 2023, won that Grey Cup, was like a Titans practice squad member, and now he's back in Canada. I don't know who, again, because I'm not working the full season because I'm moving, obviously, and I don't know if the Red Blacks play the Rough Riders at home before I go, but like I would love to see Shane Ray, like, again, how he moves, how he feels. And I mean, fuck, it's been a decade since he's been drafted, but either way. Daz Newsome, a 2021 sixth-round pick. Yep. On the Argos, we have Kadeem Carey, a 2014 fourth-round pick. I thought Kadeem Carey was going to be absolutely nasty in the NFL. I'm about to look up his college stats. So he went to Arizona and got drafted by the Bears, and I was like, yeah, like, that's going to be one of my sleeper picks in fantasy this year, because where did he finish? Yeah. So his final 2 years at Arizona, so he had 303 attempts, 1,929 yards, and 23 rushing TDs on top of 303 receiving yards and a TD, and then he followed that up in his junior year with 349 carries for 1,885 yards for 19 TDs. Like, I thought he was going to be a stud. He averaged 5.7 yards per attempt in his college career. And then, yeah, he got to the NFL, and it was fine, didn't really work out, but since he has since he's been in the CFL, still a productive runner, fun to watch. DeMarcus Christmas, a 2019 sixth-round pick by the Seahawks. Bunch of counting stats for him. Now he's in the CFL. Brian Cox Jr. has half a sack for his NFL career. Love to see it. And then, of course, we have Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly's nephew, Mr. Irrelevant by the Broncos, and then drunkenly broke into someone's house, and he got beat up by a vacuum, and then he was promptly cut. Now he's in the CFL, and Grey Cup champion, I think he won like an MIP, or not an MIP, but a most outstanding, yeah, an MOP, that's what it is. He's a mop. Chad Kelly, still not a great dude, though, so let's make that clear. And then finally, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, we got two guys here. Tay Gowan, who is a 2021 sixth-round pick, sure. And then Chris Strieveler, who, again, didn't play a ton of games in the NFL. I think he got into, like, five games. I don't think he won any of them. I think he only had one TD. I think he only threw for, like, 250 total yards. But again, he was a quarterback in the NFL for a cup of coffee, and that is fantastic. But those are a lot of the former NFL guys now in the CFL that you can watch out for if you really care. I'm sure a lot of you don't, but had to talk about something in late May because nothing is really happening, but we will end it here because I have to go to a door event to support my lovely girlfriend.
Thank you.
So I will end it here so I can go get changed and we can go. So as always, if you have liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell your friends, all that fun stuff, and until next time, peace.